There are reports that you are considering strikes within Venezuela. Is that true?
No.
That you made a decision on that?
No, it's not true.
Was your response to Viktor Orban saying he'll ask for an exemption from U.S. sanctions on Russian oil?
He has asked for an exemption. We haven't granted one, but he has asked. Viktor, he's a friend of mine. He's asked for an exemption. What else?
This is my video update on this Saturday afternoon, November the 1st, coming to you from Hagia Napa, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news, and let's start things off with the article from the Miami Herald, which claims that the Trump White House is ready to strike Venezuela. According to the Miami Herald, it could happen in hours, it could happen within days, but all the pieces are in place for the Trump administration to strike Venezuela. It would be an air operation, which would look to take out various facilities which the Trump administration claims are being used to distribute narcotics. And there may also be a decapitation component to this operation. And other mainstream media outlets, after this article was published, other outlets, they also started to report the same thing, which is that the Trump White House is ready to begin an operation against Venezuela. A regime change operation is what this really is all about. And Trump was asked about these reports that an operation against Venezuela was imminent. And he was asked about this while he was on Air Force One by a reporter. And Trump's response to the reporter's question was that it is not true. No, it's not true. That's a direct quote from Trump as he was asked about strikes happening against Venezuela. When Trump says, no, it is not true, that an attack is not happening, then you know it is happening. As I have said many times about the Trump White House's foreign policy, it is one based on trickery and deception. So when Trump said, no, it's not true, I said, oh boy, an attack is coming. That was my first thoughts upon hearing Trump's reply from this reporter. We are getting reports that U.S. troops in Trinidad and Tobago, they have been placed on high alerts. We are also getting reports that airspace in Puerto Rico, or part of the airspace in Puerto Rico, has been closed off. So I don't know if these are definite signs, indicators that an attack is coming, but it does look like something is about to happen in Venezuela. And Bloomberg, they had an interview. They had an article. I was stuck there. Bloomberg had an interview of the Nobel Prize winner, Maria Corina Machado, the brave, defiant, peace-loving, democracy-loving Maria Corina Machado. And they interviewed her, Bloomberg, and she said that the best way to free Venezuela was to attack Venezuela. That's pretty much what she said. By the way, the Miami Herald article has the title, U.S. poised to strike military targets in Venezuela in escalation against Maduro regime. And the Bloomberg interview of the peace-loving, Nobel Prize-winning Machado has the title, Nobel Peace Prize Winner. U.S. escalation is only way to free Venezuela. The only way you can free Venezuela is to attack it. right? To attack Venezuela, its government, its people, create chaos and destruction. That is the way to free Venezuela. Regime change is the only way to free Venezuela. Actually, Bloomberg says in this article, opposition leader Maria Corina Machado talks about life in hiding, the fight for democracy and unconventional regime change. It's an unconventional regime change. She's in hiding, by the way. She's in hiding as she's giving interview after interview after interview and getting a Nobel Peace Prize, but she's in hiding. Anyway, that's the article from Bloomberg. The collective West mainstream media, they're getting very excited about a possible war and Maduro regime change. They are beating the war drums. So the Washington Post, they posted an article where they claim that Maduro, he actually sent a letter to Iran, Russia, and China asking them for help. This is according to the WAPO. He sent letters to these three countries asking for weapons, for radar equipment, for missile detection equipment, for all kinds of hardware, all kinds of aliens here in Ayia Napa. As you can see, the aliens are all over Ayia Napa. They're leaving their marks on the landscape of Ayia Napa Cyprus, letting everybody know that they are here with us. So according to the Washington Post, we don't know what the response was from Iran, China, or Russia. What they are reporting is that Maduro is panicking and he is seeking some sort of assistance from the three countries. Now, this could be true. This could be true reporting. Keep in mind that the Washington Post is the Jeff Bezos-owned Washington Post, which has contracts and very close ties to the three-letter agencies in the United States. But it could be accurate reporting. I have no doubt that Maduro is seeking assistance from China, Russia, Iran, and other countries. But this could also be a type of PSYOP, right? Because the three-letter agencies, knowing that an operation is about to happen against Venezuela, they want to paint the picture that the multipolar world is not united. As the United States attacks Venezuela, the big powers were not there to help it, right? So they may want to put that picture out there to sow doubt and distrust amongst the global majority. So always keep that in mind when you're reading Washington Post articles. They have a lot of three-letter agency fingerprints on them. The title of this article from the WAPO is, "As U.S. Ramps Up the Pressure, Venezuela Pleads with Moscow for Help." Notice how they say Moscow, even though the article talks about China and Iran. They want to make sure they put Russia there, right? Russia did not help Venezuela. You see, you cannot trust Russia, global majority, global south. You cannot trust Putin. He will not come to your aid. That's the message that they want to send. But in the article, they actually have some sources who say that Maduro is done. While sources declined to say whether Maduro himself is a target, one of them said his time is running out. Maduro is about to find himself trapped and might soon discover that he cannot flee the country even if he decided to, the source said. What's worse for him, there is now more than one general willing to capture and hand him over, fully aware that one thing is to talk about death and another to see it coming. Yeah, they are really ramping up the regime change drums, talking about how there may be generals or people within the Maduro administration who may look to turn on him or turn him in or take him out. That is what this source is saying. So there is a full-on regime change operation taking place, everybody. Full-on. The only component that's missing is the military component, which could be coming any day now. Okay, so a lot of big news went down yesterday. That's big news topic number one. Big news topic number two is that the Pentagon, according to CNN and The Hill and other mainstream media sources, but CNN broke this and then The Hill reported on this. The Pentagon has told the Trump administration that they can give Tomahawks to the Zelensky regime. And according to their assessment of inventories, the Trump White House, President Trump, has nothing to worry about. There are no inventory issues, no shortages. He has the green light from the Pentagon to give Tomahawk missiles to the Green Goblin. Now, the Pentagon has greenlit the Tomahawks about a month ago or a month and a half ago. The Department of War said that the Tomahawks can go to Ukraine. That's not the story here. We already know that the Pentagon is okay with sending Tomahawks, officially is okay with sending Tomahawks to Ukraine. The story here is the statement from the Pentagon that there are no shortages of Tomahawks. There will be no inventory problems should Trump decide to send Tomahawks to Ukraine. So that's the story here, because what the Pentagon is doing, what the deep state is doing to Trump, is they're boxing him in, right? They are boxing him in, because when Zelensky was in D.C. and he met with Trump and Trump was asked about the Tomahawks, Trump's reply was that the Tomahawks, he doesn't want to give the Tomahawks to Ukraine because the United States needs to save those Tomahawks, right? They need to keep those Tomahawks in inventory for the security of the United States of America, right? We can't hand over the Tomahawks because, you know, we don't have that many. That's basically what Trump was saying when he was asked about the Tomahawks when Zelensky was in the United States. And so the Pentagon comes along, the deep state comes along, the mainstream media like CNN comes along, and they say, you know what? We green light the Tomahawks to Ukraine, no problem. And by the way, Trump, don't worry about any inventory issues. Don't worry about it. We're all good. And so in the article from CNN and The Hill, they actually say that the decision is now with Trump. They actually say that. They're boxing him in. The decision is his. Everything is okay on our end, on the Pentagon's end. The Tomahawks are good to go. No inventory issues, like Trump said a couple of weeks ago. No problems there. So the decision is now Trump's. And now Trump is going to have to either resist the pressure to send Tomahawks. He doesn't have any excuses anymore. So he's going to either have to resist or he's going to have to green light the Tomahawks. And as far as the launch platform, because I know that's a popular topic when it comes to the Tomahawks, the article in CNN says that the Pentagon, they can figure out the way to launch the Tomahawks. They said that they have a ground-based platform, which they can give to Ukraine. And they also said that the Ukraine military is very creative. And they can think of ways to fire the Tomahawks like they did with the Storm Shadows. That's what they say in the article, that Ukrainians figured a way to fire the storm shadows without the UK or the scout missiles without France or NATO. They figured out a workaround. And so they're saying they want us to believe, right? They want us to believe that that the Ukraine military is going to figure out a workaround to launch the Tomahawk missiles, right? They think everyone's stupid. Anyway, CNN says Pentagon cleared giving Ukraine long-range Tomahawk missiles, leaving final decision to Trump. Leaving final decision to Trump. They're looking to checkmate Trump on this issue. The Pentagon has given the White House the green light to provide Ukraine with long-range Tomahawk missiles after assessing that it would not negatively impact U.S. stockpiles, leaving the final political decision in President Donald Trump's hands, according to three U.S. and European officials familiar with the matter. Of course, those U.S. and European officials familiar with the matter. And in this article, they actually reference Trump's quote when he was meeting with Zelensky and asked about the Tomahawks, where Trump said, and I quote, "We don't want to be giving away things that we need to protect our country." Well, that excuse has now been taken away from Trump with regards to the Tomahawks. The Hill also says Pentagon says Ukraine can have Tomahawk missiles, according to a report. The Hill has reached out to the White House and the Pentagon for confirmation. The Defense Department's DoD approval is reportedly based on an assessment that providing Tomahawks would not negatively impact U.S. stockpiles. The DOD is saying that Tomahawks would not negatively impact U.S. stockpiles. Ayia Napa. Beautiful Ayia Napa. So up there is the sculpture park. I've done a video from there. A couple of years ago, I did a video from the sculpture park. And we have a couple of sculptures here. There's one over there. We'll go to the butterfly sculpture in a bit. So that's the situation with the Tomahawk missiles. Keep in mind that the neocons and the Europeans, they believe that that firing the Tomahawks into Russia is not going to trigger any type of retaliation from Putin. They really do believe that. And that's what they're going to tell Trump. They're going to tell Trump, forget about any concerns with retaliation, Oreshniks, Poseidons, World War III, whatever. Forget about any type of retaliation from Putin. Don't worry about it. What they're going to tell Trump is, look, we've crossed many Russian red lines. Putin's not going to do anything if we fire Tomahawk long-range missiles into Russia. And then we'll have another method to take out Russian energy facilities. That's what they're telling Trump, man. And now Trump has no more excuses. If he was looking for excuses, that's if you want to believe that he was looking for excuses. Well, he has no more excuses. They've taken away his excuses for the Tomahawks. A lot of alien activity right here. A lot of alien activity. All right. Big news story number three. Big news story number three was this Black Hawk helicopter operation in Pokrovsk. Have you guys heard about this? This is crazy. This is a crazy news story. So yesterday, Zelensky convened a meeting of all his top officials, including intel officials and the SBU guy and all of his top producers and script writers. And of course, this was recorded and published because they want everyone to hear this conversation, right? And in this conversation, it was my opening video segment from yesterday. In this conversation, Zelensky reveals, along with the SBU head, the intel head, that they destroyed an Oreshnik, a year ago, right? Russia had three Oreshniks, and there was this amazing, intricate, top secret, super duper top secret operation from the SBU, where they went into Russia and they actually destroyed an Oreshnik, and now they're okay to admit this, right? Enough time has passed and they could admit this. That was the first revelation that Alensky said. And then he talked about how Putin wants to visit Pokrovsk, right? He wants to actually go to Pokrovsk and see what's going on. But for fear of his life, he's never going to do it because Ukraine, they know Putin's movements, right? So he said that as well. And then he said that he's seen a lot of maps. He's seen a lot of maps about the situation in Pokrovsk and Kupiansk. And all these maps are a load of bullocks. He didn't say that. I'm saying load of bullocks. But he said that he has the best map. He says, I've seen all these maps talking about a bad situation, a catastrophe, an encirclement, a cauldron. I've seen all these maps. He said, you know what? I've got the real map. I've got the best map, he said. And according to my map, everything is okay. Yeah, the situation is difficult. But he said, our military is annihilating the Russians in this region. So, of course, all of this was recorded and published on social media. And then we also have rumors as well that 2018, China, at the moment, English, Greek, and Russian, 2018, courtesy of China. So there are rumors that the flamingo is also being used, if you want to believe that there's been a bunch of flamingo strikes into Russia as well. I don't buy that either. I don't buy anything that was being said yesterday, but I really don't buy that because just a couple of days ago, Alensky put out an official statement saying that the flamingo has all kinds of production and technical issues. And now all of a sudden, the new narrative, the new script is that it's being used to strike at Russia. Okay, whatever. Anyway, that leads us to this Black Hawk operation, right? So they have this big meeting, they say all of these things, and then we get the news that Budanov and his military intel special forces guys, they cooked up an operation to send two Black Hawk helicopters, about 11 special forces guys, into Pokrovsk, about a kilometer outside of the center of Pokrovsk. And their goal was to open a logistics line. Right, Alensky's saying there's no cauldron, there's no encirclement, everything's all right, we're annihilating the Russians. And as he's saying this, there's this Black Hawk operation, courtesy of Budanov, where they're trying to bust open a hole in the Russian line, and they're trying to open up a logistics path. And these guys were sitting ducks, man. Sitting ducks. And the Russians were there waiting for them. Two Black Hawk helicopters. We've got video. The Russian Ministry of Defense has also confirmed this. And when the Russian Ministry of Defense confirms something and publishes something, they're very conservative. You can pretty much take it to the bank. But yeah, they were sitting ducks and they got annihilated. And the Russian Ministry of Defense actually even says that these forces, they landed about a kilometer outside of Pokrovsk with their Black Hawks, and they were destroyed. Breaking. First images have been released of Ukrainian special forces landing via helicopter on the northern outskirts of Pokrovsk. No vehicles are able to get in or out. Update. Russian channels have published footage of their drone operators ambushing the Ukrainian special forces team that was dropped off near Pokrovsk. Just a straight-up suicide mission. Who on earth gave this green light? Well, I'll tell you who I think gave this green light. Alensky? Yeah, sure, possibly. But given that we're talking about Budanov and his close connection to three-letter agencies, that's who I think gave the green light, right? Whenever you're talking about Budanov, you have to always remember that he's a product of the three-letter agencies in the United States. So I think this was their idea. That would be my guess. Just a guess. Just a guess. So, big news story number four, right? We're on number four. Yeah, we're on number four. And Orban, he is traveling to the United States next week, and he has said that he is going to ask President Trump for an exemption to the Russian oil sanctions. And Trump was asked about this on Air Force One, about Orban and him wanting to get an exemption from the Russian oil, Lukoil, oil Rosneft sanctions that the Trump White House placed. And Trump's response to reporters, his direct response to reporters was, "We haven't granted one, but he has asked." So he said that Orban has asked, and he's coming to ask, but he said, "We have not granted one." Now, a lot of people think that this is Trump saying no to Orban, which it could be interpreted as that, but it could also be interpreted as Trump not making a decision yet. So it could go both ways, right? It could go both ways. It could be Trump telling Orban, "Nope, you're not going to get an exemption," but it could also be Trump saying, "Look, we have not granted one," but he doesn't say he will not grant one. He just said, "We have not granted one," meaning an exemption. Doesn't necessarily mean that when Orban comes to D.C. and should he meet with Trump, which I imagine he's going to meet with Trump, right? That Trump is going to, he might grant Orban an exemption. You know what would be really effed up? I'll tell you what would be really, really effed up. If Trump doesn't grant Orban an exemption, but he grants Germany and Merz an exemption, right? Because Merz wants an exemption. Merz is asking for an exemption. And Merz is very confident that Germany will get an exemption because they have Rosneft subsidiary refineries in Germany, right? And he needs an exemption. And so what would be really messed up is if he gives the exemption to Germany and Merz, someone who despises Trump, right? The EU globalists despise Trump, but Trump gives them an exemption. And to his friend, to the man that supported him as he was campaigning in 2024, he decides to not grant him an exemption, which would mean that Hungary would be in a very difficult position a year before the elections. That would be messed up. Anyway, let's move on. And on Air Force One, Trump was also asked about the U.S. Nuclear testing. He was asked about that as well. And Trump said that he's going to move forward with nuclear testing. He said, "We're going to do some testing. Yeah, other countries do it. If they're going to do it, we're going to do it." So Trump is still under the belief that there are countries that are testing nuclear weapons, that are conducting nuclear tests. He actually believes that the Poseidon and the Budovestnik were nuclear tests. That's what he means when he says that other countries are doing it. All right, I'm going to turn down the audio because there's some music here. Okay, I'm out of range of the music. Take a guess what song was playing. Red Red Wine by UB40. That's what song was playing. Anyway, I would get a strike for that one. So that's what Trump said about the nuclear testing issue. And the Washington Post, they published an article saying that restarting nuclear tests for the United States would be very difficult. They said it would take a couple of years. At a minimum, they said it would take 1 year, and it would be very expensive to restart nuclear testing. And they also made the point that that they may not even have the people qualified to actually conduct these tests. So they also made that point as well. Anyway, according to the WAPO, the nuclear testing would not happen right away. It would take a minimum of a year to actually get it started. And it would happen most likely in Nevada. All right, let's move on. And another big story, actually, which is that that Protasevich, he from Belarus, I don't know if you guys remember that story from 2020-21. He was a Belarus agent, according to Lukashenko, and he's also told the media that he was a Belarus agent. Now, I don't know if you remember the Protasevich story that happened at the time of the elections in Belarus when the collective West tried to regime change Lukashenko during those elections. And there were a bunch of Telegram channels, and one of them, Protasevich was the editor for, up until 2020, I believe he was the editor for one of the big Telegram channels called Nexta. And all these Telegram channels were pushing for the removal of Lukashenko, a regime change of Lukashenko, and for Tikhanovskaya, Juan Guaido number two, Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, to take over, who's very pro-EU, pro-globalist. And long story short, Lukashenko won the elections, and he did win the elections. He won the elections, and the regime change was thwarted. Anyway, Protasevich, who was with Tikhanovskaya, he was the journalist accompanying Tikhanovskaya wherever she went to Greece to attend the Delphi Economic Conference. And this was a conference actually attended also by the then ambassador of the United States to Greece, one Jeffrey Pyatt, if I remember correctly, if my memory serves me correctly. He was the ambassador to Greece at the time, and I believe he was at this event. Anyway, Tikhanovskaya was there. Protasevich accompanied her. He was interviewing her. He was floating around this conference. And the reports are that he was going from Vilnius to Greece, and then he was going to return from Greece to Vilnius aboard Ryanair. And the reports are that he was given some information. This is what the claims are. He was given some information while in Greece, and as he was crossing over Belarus airspace, the Belarus air traffic control and military, they called in a bomb threat, and they scrambled jets, and the military brought the plane down in Minsk, and Lukashenko grabbed Protasevich and his girlfriend. Right? And then he was put in prison, but he was released like 4 years later. And that's when the sanctions against Belarus started. That's when all the big sanctions against Belarus really kicked off, was after this this event with the airplane. Anyway, I'm just going over the history of this because I kind of forgot about it as well, the details of it. And he has now come out and said that he was actually working for Belarus intel. He was a type of agent or double agent or triple agent, right? And he was working for Belarus intelligence all the time that he was with Tikhanovskaya and working with these Telegram channels that were trying to regime change Belarus. And this was reported on yesterday. Now, I don't know if this is true. Maybe he really was an intel asset. Maybe he was not. But anyway, he was released. He was released after 3-4 years, so he didn't serve his full term in prison. And he has also told the media, so he's on record saying, yeah, I was working for Belarus intel. And my operation was to infiltrate all of these groups. And he did a good job. Man, did he do a good job. So yeah, that's the news there. Lukashenko says Protasevich, not opposition figure, but Belarusian intelligence officer. The Belarusian president recalled that the incident involving the plane and Roman Protasevich's detention led to sanctions being imposed on the country. Yeah, I remember the Guardian. They ran an article at the time in 2021 with the title, "They Will Kill Me, Belarusian Bloggers Descent into Horror." Roman Protasevich had told friends he was being followed in Athens. Hours later, he was escorted away at Minsk Airport. Protasevich had been in Greece to cover a speech at the Delphi Economic Forum by Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, the Belarusian opposition leader in exile, and then spent time a few days on holiday before boarding his flight back to Vilnius, where he lives. Tikhanovskaya and an aide, Frank Vlakorska, had taken the same flight over Belarus a week earlier without incident. Fascinating story. Very, very fascinating story. Let's do one more news story, and we can wrap up this video. The EU may be bringing a court case against Slovakia, Hungary, and Poland, because these three countries refused to open up their markets to Ukrainian food, to Ukrainian farm products, because if they brought in the Ukrainian farm products, they claim that they're lower quality than their domestic farmers' products, and lower price, more competition, lower price. And they would create all kinds of problems for their domestic markets and for their local farmers. So even though the EU is forcing countries to open up to Ukrainian food and Ukrainian farm products, Hungary, Slovakia, and Poland are saying, no, we will not do it. We will not harm our domestic markets, our domestic farmers, in order to bring in Ukrainian products. And so the EU might take them to court. All right, I think we can do a couple of clown worlds. It is hot today. It is really, really hot. So let's begin with clown world number one. Clown world number one, courtesy of The Telegraph and the UK Sun. The Telegraph has the article, "Ukraine rescues camel used by Russian military. Moscow uses camels, horses, and donkeys on front line to address stalled advance." And The Sun writes, "Moment Ukraine rescues Putin's war camel used by desperate Russians." That's right, everybody. And they have video, by the way. They're showing video of this camel. But yeah, Putin is getting very desperate. He's getting so desperate that he is using camels, horses, donkeys. He's getting very, very desperate, Putin. Very desperate. According to UK media. Oh man, you know it's bad for Zelensky when they start to run stories like this. I wouldn't be surprised if there were some camels or horses or something from, I don't know, maybe some of the zoos in the Donbass or something that got loose. That wouldn't surprise me or shock me. But I like how they phrase it, Putin's camels. Putin's camels. As he's getting desperate, as Putin is getting desperate. Oh, boy. From The Telegraph, everybody. Not only The Sun, because, you know, The Sun, okay, you expect them to come out with articles like this, but from The Telegraph as well. The Telegraph has become The Sun. The Sun may even be more reliable than The Telegraph at this point. All right, clown world number two, courtesy of The Washington Post. Can a sense of humor get Albania into the EU? Once known as a Stalinist backwater, Albania is now a frontrunner for the European Union accession and has a comedian running for mayor of its capital. So this guy in Albania is running for mayor, and he's a one-time comedian. No more comedians, please. No more comedians. Have we not learned our lesson? Albania, why? Why? No more comedians. Ban comedians from any kind of public office, right? That should be the lesson learned from Project Ukraine, anyway. That is the Washington Post. And finally, one more clown world, courtesy of Politico. Lithuania suspends air traffic over capital due to balloons. It marks the sixth time this month that Vilnius has had to halt air traffic over what senior EU officials described as a hybrid threat. Balloons with cigarettes, right? These are the balloons that Belarus allegedly is sending over to Lithuania, and they have cigarettes. And this is causing all kinds of problems for Lithuania. These balloons filled with cigarettes, and the prime minister of Lithuania, Inga something. She said, you know what? If this continues, if these balloons continue to cross over into Vilnius airspace and cause more disruptions, these are balloons. Keep in mind, balloons. If they cause any more disruption, then we're going to shoot them down, she said. Dude, just let the balloons land and get people their contraband cigarettes. Come on. People are relying on those smokes. Oh, man. Yeah, balloons. Balloons are causing disruptions at the airport. Filled with cigarettes. Ah, Lukashenko. What are you doing, Lukashenko? Anyway, that's the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X, on Rumble, and on Telegram. Like this video, subscribe to this channel. Once again, I forgot to say it at the beginning of the video update. What else is new? But do me a solid and please like this video. If you like this video, then hit that like button. And if you like this channel, then please subscribe to this channel. Let's try to get to 250,000 subscribers on YouTube by the end of the year. It's been a really long journey. I've walked many, many steps to try and get to 250,000. Man, I think I've walked 250,000 steps on this channel. So anyway, that's it, man. I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.